Okay, item number nine. This is Coastal Commercial Ocean Pink Shrimp LED Fishing Lights, briefing and public hearing. And Lorna and Dan?
And I'm gonna have a shrimp Louie for lunch salad after this.
Well, good morning, Chair Smith, Commissioners, Director Storr, and Deputy Director Amy Windrop. My name is Lorna Wargo, and I am the Coastal Marine Fish Science Manager. And we're doing a joint presentation, so I'm gonna, right now, pass the baton to Dan.
Good morning. I'm Dan Ayers. I'm the Region 6 Coastal Shellfish Manager, and Lorna and I are both based in our Montesano office. Today we're bringing for your consideration a rule change that uses a very innovative method to reduce bycatch in our coastal commercial pink shrimp fishery. It's a trawl fishery that occurs out on the, along the Washington coast. Pink shrimp, as the chair mentioned, are very tasty little shrimp that you commonly find in a salad. Shrimp Louis are very common. My mother, when she was still alive, was a big shrimp Louis fan. I'm going to start today by providing you just a little bit of background on the fishery and then try to provide some overall sense of its importance. Then Lorna will provide you some information around the concerns that we have over bycatch in the fishery and the actions we're proposing today. And then we'll introduce the rule change. In general, the commercial coastal pink shrimp fishery is pretty much under the radar for most folks. Let's see, I guess I need to advance this, don't I? Let's see. Who's going to do it? Me do it. Okay. Under the radar for most folks, even for those folks who live out on our coastal communities. However, for coastal fishers that participate and processors, it's a very important economic engine. The boats that participate are very large, with an average size of 70 feet, some up to 90 feet, each towing one or two trawl nets at a time and having crews of three to four people. The fishery takes place in the deeper offshore waters, 20 to 30 miles off the Washington coast, where shrimp live. You can see in the map there that's in general the edge of the continental shelf. It's important to point out that, as with all trawling, it's closed within 3 miles of the state, and exclusively, almost exclusively, all in those offshore waters. And we're proud to say that it's the only commercial fishery in Washington that's certified by the Marine Stewardship Council. That's a non-governmental agency that's based actually in London that evaluates fisheries all over the world for sustainability and ecologically responsible management. This certification has opened up all kinds of new markets for our pink shrimp in Washington, mostly European markets that often require proof of sustainability. The fishery also has some ongoing observer coverage through random selection of vessels and trips by NOAA's West Coast Groundfish Observer Program, and that is primarily to document finfish bycatch. So, let's see, with millions of pounds on the left axis and numbers of vessels on the right, this graph shows us how the fishery has had a long history of fairly consistent total landings by season, as displayed with the pink bars. In addition, vessel participation levels have remained relatively consistent, as you can see with the blue bar, or blue line, rather. And then the clear exception to these patterns are the two recent seasons when exceedingly strong recruitment and very good ocean conditions resulted in record landings in 2014 and even higher landings in 2015, and a corresponding increase in the number of vessels participating. And then the black line at the top shows us that there's a very consistent number of limited entry licenses that are renewed each year. However, the majority of those licenses do not actively fish. And this pie chart displays ex-vessel value for all coastal commercial fisheries in thousands of dollars. So the pink shrimp fishery there that's listed at 13,000 is actually 13,000, or in other words, 13 million, which is the value of catch paid to the commercial fisher in his pocket at the time of landing and does not include any value after processing. In the scope of other coastal commercial fisheries, the pink shrimp fishery, on average, is the fourth highest value fishery on our coast, only exceeded by the values of our Dungeness crab, whiting, and albacore fisheries. You may also be interested to know that in Westport, the largest commercial pink shrimp buyer has and processor recently invested over $25 million in a brand new state-of-the-art pink shrimp processing plant. Really quite amazing to see. It's a facility that only processes pink shrimp, a clear investment in the future of the fishery and our sustainable management. So, Lorna.
You know, just that this is a good news story. I mean, so far, I don't know if we're being let off a cliff soon, but this is, I don't, this is the kind of stuff that really should, I didn't know that. You know, get that word out. I mean, that's a positive, the sustainability factor, the new industry, you know, new economic development factor. In a world of what we're always hearing, you know, the sky's falling, this is like a sunny day outside.
Hopefully I won't crash that. No, don't intend to. Well, thank you, Dan. So in my part of the talk today, I will address the purpose and need for this rule proposal. In some manner, addressing bycatch in the pink shrimp fishery has been a primary focus of management since 2000, when several species of rockfish were declared overfished. Historically, rockfish and other groundfish were commonly caught and sold in the shrimp fishery. However, under federal rebuilding plans, catch limits were severely restricted and shrimpers were required to install devices known as biological reduction devices or fish excluders. By installing fish excluding grates, which you can see an example of in that upper right-hand corner, shrimpers could continue to catch shrimp while effectively allowing the larger fish, such as rockfish, to escape the net. But the legal bar spacing still allowed the capture of smaller fish. In particular, the bycatch of eulachon, as well as other smelt species, persisted because of their smaller size. Efforts to mitigate eulachon bycatch following its listing in 2010 included research that found that by narrowing the bar spacing on the grate to 1 inch, you could effectively reduce the bycatch of eulachon while the shrimpers could continue to catch shrimp. More recently, National Marine Fisheries Service five-year review concluded that despite general improvements to monitored eulachon populations, the risks to recovery remain in due part to uncertain ocean conditions. Published last fall, the Eulachon Recovery Plan assesses the severity of threats to the eulachon recovery, and it listed the shrimp fishery as a high risk. While acknowledging the advances to reduce bycatch, the plan also includes long and short-term actions that are directed at recovery, and one specific short-term action is the fleet-wide implementation of fishing lights in California, Oregon, and Washington. This action stems from innovative research that investigated using light-emitting diode or LED fishing lights to encourage fish avoidance of the net. A 2015 study by the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission and the Department of Oregon Fish and Wildlife found that they could reduce the bycatch of eulachon by about 90%. And achieve anywhere from a 56 to 86% reduction for certain juvenile rockfish and flatfish when these LED lights were installed on the foot rope of the shrimp net. This innovation is believed to be the first successful application using artificial light to modify fish escapement behavior to reduce bycatch in a trawl fishery. And in the next slide, I'll just describe briefly how this works. The LED lights act by taking advantage of a behavioral response of some fish to dive when a threat is perceived. In the upper right-hand corner, the picture depicts a typical shrimp vessel that we refer to as double-rigged because it tows two nets, one from each outrigger. And here you can see the trawl doors. Is that not?
I'm looking at both sides here.
Okay, there you go. You can see the trawl doors, which are aptly named, as these hold the net open as the net's drawn through the water. In the figure below, you can see there the trawl doors on the left, and then the large arrow, the yellow arrow pointing to where the lights are installed on the net. So between the net and the seafloor, there's a gap, and these lights serve to illuminate this gap, which ranges from 14 to 28 inches on shrimp gear. So as Ulicon detects the lights, and here you can see in there that top box there, Dan's tracing the path the fish would take. They detect the lights and dive under the net, avoiding a capture. So bigger fish, such as rockfish or flatfish, if they're captured in the net, will travel down sort of that darker dashed line through the net, and they'll be guided out a hole in the top by the grate, so they're excluded from the caught end and not captured. Whereas pink shrimp, which are not as vigorous swimmers, will pass down through the net, through the bars on the grate, and into the caught end. All right. So the rule proposal then is to require the use of LED lights beginning this spring when the fishery opens April 1st. We don't anticipate adjusting to this requirement will be particularly difficult for the fleet, because the early research results from Oregon were so compelling that many of the shrimpers began voluntarily using lights. For them, reducing bycatch, aside from conservation concerns, reduces the labor and time that is required to sort unwanted catch, and the quality of shrimp is improved with cleaner catches. Even so, despite widespread use, it's not been 100%, and usage has tended to fall off when the bycatch was less troublesome for the fishermen. So yet aside from resource, yet from a resource perspective, the relative bycatch impact, when they perceive volume is less, it might actually be more significant in terms of that impact of the bycatch, especially if that represents a decline in the bycatch abundance. So specifically, the key points of the rule include the requirement that each net have a minimum of 5 operational lights attached to the foot rope in the central section of the net. Since shrimpers report using 7 to as many as 15 fishing lights, this provides a buffer in case any lights become inoperable during a fishing trip. The rule includes a provision to issue special gear permits, allowing the flexibility to test new strategies on a case-by-case basis. And we estimate the annual cost for the lights and associated materials to install them at roughly $1,300. And I calculated that over the past 10 years, this expense would have represented from a quarter to 1% of the average gross revenue per vessel in any given year. However, as we mentioned, by reducing bycatch and the less need to sort, that there may be some offset with labor costs. Regardless, to ease transition with Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife as lead and with California, we collaborated on a Salton Style Kennedy federal grant, and if we're awarded that grant, we'll pay for the purchase, one-time purchase of lights for all the active fishery participants in all three states. And it would also support targeted outreach on the continued need to advance strategies to reduce bycatch in the shrimp fishery. In terms of other outreach, because as I said, the initial research was so compelling, a lot of the shrimpers were installing the lights and using them voluntarily. So our shellfish unit conducted a survey over the course of 2 fishing seasons to gauge usage rates. And consistent with anecdotal reports, we found that a majority of shrimpers were using the lights, but we found that, and their feedback was very favorable, but we found there were a few holdouts, and also that there was a tendency to not use the lights when they felt that the bycatch wasn't as troublesome. So as the volume of bycatch went down, they were using the lights less frequently. In addition to the survey, in terms of getting the word out about these lights, each issue of our annual Pink Shrimp newsletter highlighted the research that was underway and pointed to the potential that we'd be implementing rules to require the use of lights and make them mandatory at some point. And then lastly, last November, we had a public meeting with our shrimpers to go over the draft rule and get their feedback, which was positive. A few mentioned that, you know, there's the additional cost. A few mentioned that there's a bit of a hassle factor with having to install and keep the lights operable while they're fishing. But they noted that with the minimum number being 5 per net, and that most of them have used more than that, they felt comfortable that there was buffer there. They'd been a little bit worried that the number of lights might have been higher. So they were supportive of that aspect of the rule as well. So really, overall, their support for this rule action. The shrimpers recognize the ongoing need to reduce bycatch and find that the lights are very effective in doing that. So with that concludes our presentation, and we'd be happy to take any questions.
Yeah, I'll start. Again, I find this very fascinating, right? And it just leads me to think, could this be applicable in other trawl net fisheries, you know, globally? And getting the word out, I didn't know we had a pink shrimp newsletter, but I would like to read one. So I think, can you send those to Tammy so she can get them to us?
Yes, just thank you.
To see what that says, because I think getting the word out on this is a good thing. And I don't, Sea Grant could help disseminate that word too, because through their networks, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, but no, this is, I think, combining technology and a sustainable resource and a positive reduction, a big reduction of bycatch, you know, that it just gets me thinking about a lot of things. So thank you. And I'm going to really enjoy my shrimp Louie. They have a good one down here. Other questions? Yeah.
I have a question. Thanks for the presentation. Yeah, I share the chair's interest in this. This is a good news story. Although, you know, trawling always does have its detractors. Ground bottom trawl, as this fishery is. But that aside, my only question or concern, and I don't think it would be, but I'd just like you to confirm, is that when we make this mandatory, or if we do move forward with the rule, is there ample supply in the market for these devices? You know, you don't want to be in a situation where you require fishers to have this, and it's not readily available in marine supply source. So that's just my question.
Thank you, Chair Smith. Yes, thank you for the question, Commissioner Kehoe. Because the research started probably even prior to 2015, and because there was voluntary use, one of the issues that we encountered was the research used specific lights, particular brand of lights, and so the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife with Pacific States did some more work last summer. So we had anticipated bringing this rule last year and having it in effect for 2017, but we didn't want to be in the position of the states requiring a specific brand of any type of light. So the additional research determined that there are a couple of different brands that met the same criteria, had the same effectiveness, so that would address issues of supply. But these are not a highly specialized light, so they're fairly readily available.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And just another follow-up. I think some longitudinal study of this would be, you know, really a good academic exercise for a master's thesis or possibly a dissertation. So I think linking this to, you know, some folks at UW in the fisheries. In fact, if you send this to me, that presentation, several of us are going to be giving it, working with UW in a fishery program in a couple months, but this could be one of the topics that they could start to address.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Certainly.
Any other? Okay, we do have one public comment. So, Aaron Kincaid, please.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Smith and members of the Commission. I am Erin Kincaid with Oceana, based in Portland, and thank you for the opportunity to provide comments on the Washington Ocean pink shrimp fishery. Oceana actively campaigns to reduce bycatch in fisheries and protect sensitive seafloor habitats. We commend the efforts of the Department, the Commission, and the fishing industry to ensure a sustainable and responsible Washington pink shrimp fishery. To continue these efforts, we would like to express our support for the Department's proposed rule changes to require LED light bycatch reduction devices on pink shrimp trawl gear to further reduce threatened Ulacan bycatch. This fishery is one of Washington's top five most valuable coastal commercial fisheries. And by facing conservation challenges, earned a Marine Stewardship Council certification in 2015 following gear and fishery improvements. Unfortunately, bycatch of ESA-listed Ulacan has increased in recent years, and the NIMS Ulacan Recovery Plan includes actions like requirements for LED lights or other gear or operational changes in the Ocean Pacific, in the ocean pink shrimp fishery to address this issue. Ulacan are an important forage fish as they indirectly support commercially important fisheries like Chinook, Pacific whiting, rockfish, and jack mackerel, as well as other wildlife predators. Protecting them will ensure the presence of an important prey source off the Washington coast. An Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife study has shown that foot rope LEDs can reduce Ulacan bycatch by 90%. Given their effectiveness, low cost, and current levels of voluntary use, making foot rope LEDs a requirement in this fishery is an important step toward lowering Ulacan bycatch and maintaining the fishery's sustainability. We fully support Commission action to approve the Department's proposed rule on this topic. Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. Any other questions from the Commission? Okay, do we have a motion?
No.
We don't have
it's a briefing.
Oh, it's not an action. Oh, it's a briefing. I'm sorry. Okay. See, I'm right with you there.
Question on the timeline. When do you folks expect to come forward to the commission for approval of a rule?
Chair Smith? Yes, that's at your conference call in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
The February 16th, I believe, is when it's scheduled.
Okay, great. Very informative. Thank you. I didn't know it was the fourth largest fishery in the state.
Yeah, and we'll get copies to the newsletter to you.
Yeah, the copy. Yeah, I didn't know about that. A lot of things I learned
also
today.
I would mention, I'll just put a plug in for a video that we did so that for more information you might find interesting. It's about a 5-minute video on our agency website, and it includes some, I think, probably the most maybe interesting portion is underwater footage, so you can actually see fish. It was video that was provided by one of our commercial fishermen, so you actually can see the fish as they're escaping out the hole in the top of the net. So anyways, just that might help you orient yourself to this.
When they go out in the trawl, how is that, an overnight or is that
the
several days
fishery?
Several days.
Yeah, 3 to 5 day trips.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, thank you. We'll look forward to the vote and to taking action.
All right. Thank you very much.